John chapter number 3, the book of 1 John is such a great book. It tells us how to have a relationship or fellowship with God. I put some things by way of review at the beginning of your paper there. God desires to have fellowship, a relationship with each one of us. And our sinful, our Adamic nature has destroyed that fellowship. When Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that fellowship was broken because of sin. But God desires to have fellowship with us. Now, if you're saved, you understand this. Jesus came, He died, and He rose again in order to restore that fellowship with Him. One day He's going to come again. One day He's going to take us into His very presence where we can have perfect salvation. When God talks about our salvation will be completed at that time. And then also, I'm going to give you this by way of review, having a relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit in us gives us grace to make it through any hardships of life. You ever have a rough day? You ever have a hard time? Thank God for the fellowship we have in Christ. Thank God for His grace. That's what God's grace is all about. God coming to pick us up. The comforter, the encourager. No matter what the difficulty we face in this world, God's grace can lead us through. Now, some folks face harder times than others. All of us think that, well, we've got a hard time, but there's millions of people we could look around if we only open our eyes. They've got a much harder time than us. But thank God for the grace of God. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season. And all the day long, thank God that He's always there with us. We can have that sweet assurance of His fellowship. And 1 John chapter number 3, and again, we want to keep this all into context here, and what we're talking about in this great little book. I've taken a long time to go through this book. I hope that you're even doing a little extra studying in this book. I'm just kind of giving you highlights. I know we're only taking a few verses at a time. That's the way I like to study the Bible, not only one verse at a time, but one word at a time. And every word of God is important. But 1 John chapter number 3, in verse number 16, says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." I want to talk to you this morning about a channel of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the fellowship that we share in Christ. Thank you that you came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And thank you that we've experienced the joy of salvation. And every day we have the opportunity to experience the joy of your presence. Oh God, how I pray that that presence would be real and be better every day. I thank you for the good things that you've given to me, so undeserving. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning and your grace that gives beyond measure. God, I pray that you would work in each of our lives today. Help us to see what it is to be a channel of God for good. And I pray that you would bless now your word in Jesus' name. Amen. On your paper there, we've given you a few things to remember this morning. First of all, a channel. When I talk about a channel of God, a channel is a passage primarily where water flows through. A channel is not the origin of the water, but it's just a place where water goes through. In a large body of water or even on dry land, sometimes we dig a canal or channel for water to pass through. In our area, there's a rather famous old canal that I like to go bike riding or hiking from time to time when I get a chance to, just amazed at how that canal was one time used as a channel to transport people. If you go to rivers like the Mississippi River, you'll find buoys marked out in the water that mark the main channel where it's safe for ships to travel. And in oceans, they follow the currents, and sometimes to avoid shallow water, they have main channels that are marked on maps. Now, some of us land lovers wouldn't know what to do with one of those maps, but they have main channels marked. The channel is a place where water passes through, but it's not the source of the water. The source of the water is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 4, in verse number 10 to 11, you remember the story of the woman at the well. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who it was that saith unto me, Give thee to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee the living water. The woman saith, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. But Jesus said that he is the living water. Out of him flows the water of life. In fact, in John chapter number 7, Jesus, just a few chapters later, says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, when they believed in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. After his crucifixion, after his resurrection, when he was glorified, he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us as Christians and to make us, now catch this, a channel of God's grace. A channel of God's goodness. You know, God saved you to be a channel. A channel. In fact, God points out two things I want to show you in our text this morning that God wants us to be a channel. Now, in studying this week, I couldn't help but to, I've been singing it to myself and humming it all week, a song that we're probably not real familiar with. It's in our hymnal on page number 550, but I put the words on the back of your paper there because our hymnal only has three verses. There's actually five verses to this song. And I didn't know if our pianist would know this song or not, so I thought we could just sing it a cappella or acapulco, however you want to sing it this morning. The words are there. How many of you know this song? You familiar with this song? Okay, it's not one that we sing a lot. In fact, I wasn't even sure if it was in our current hymnal till I looked it up. It's a great song, Channels Only. I want you to look at the words. Now, the chorus, we're not going to sing it every time through. We'll sing a couple of verses with the chorus. You see it as it's written there on your paper. How I praise Thee, precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou hast used us every day and every hour. Just a channel full of blessing to the thirsty hearts around, to tell out Thy full salvation, all Thy loving message sound. Emptied that Thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in Thy hand, with no power but as Thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour, witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin. Thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Channels only. I just want to be a channel of God. Now, I want you to see in our text, first of all, God desires us to be a channel of His love. A channel of God's love. Look in verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we, or see, or know, or comprehend the love of God. Think of what Christ did for us. Boy, there's a great meditation there. In chapter 3 and verse number 1 starts out, behold what manner of love. If I look at the love that God has for us. You know, the other day I just felt like I wanted to just go up to heaven. I was talking to the Lord and just thinking about His great love. Aren't you glad He loves us? To think that God, who spoke this universe into existence, and I look up at the stars and the sun and the moon and the vastness of space, and to think that that great God loves me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him? That the God of all creation would stoop to become a man. And not only to become a man, but to become a servant of men. And not only to become a servant of men, but willingly give His life for me, a worthless sinner. That He would love me. What love is beyond my comprehension, beyond my understanding, that He would love a sinner like me. That He would go on the cross, and as He hung on that cross and the sky turned dark, as God the Father turned His face on God the Son for those hours as the sun was turned off. And the dead that in Jerusalem that died years before came up out of their graves and started walking around just to show who He is. And even the enemies of God said, surely this was the Son of God, that Jesus did all that for me. That He died for me. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And then He willingly invites me to come unto Him. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Jesus laid down on our outline there, we're a channel of God's love. Hereby we perceive, we know, we comprehend the love of God from the Scriptures, from the testimony of God Himself. And we see that Jesus laid down His life. Jesus said, no one can take my life from me. As He hung on the cross and finally cried out, it is finished, as every last drop of His blood flowed to the ground. God miraculously kept Him alive because He's God. He could live without blood. He was still alive enough to say, it is finished. The price was paid in full. Jesus laid down His life for us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some might even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was a hell-bound sinner, Christ died for us. And now God desires me to be a channel of that love to the lost and dying world around me. You ever think of that? That I'm to bring that love to others? If I don't bring it to them, it's never going to get there. God's given me that responsibility to share that love with others. On our outline there, a channel of God's love, this is where we perceive the love of God, that Jesus laid down His life for us. So we ought to do what? Lay down our lives for others. If we truly are going to be a channel, that same death that Jesus died ought to be seen in us. That same water of life that flowed from Him, He is the source of that water of life, and it ought to flow through us unto others. We ought to learn to, and if we're going to do that, we're going to have to learn to, as Philippians 2, you might know the word that goes in there. Philippians 2 and verse number 3 through 5, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each do what? Esteem others better than themselves. Let me ask you something. Can you do that? I can't do that. Without His aid, I can't do that. To esteem others better than themselves. To love others more than I love myself. That's what it means to be a channel of God's blessing. Oh, I want to be a channel of God's blessing. A channel of God. God laid down His life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for others. Jesus loves me, though I am unlovely and unworthy. You know, when we realize how much He loves us, it makes it a lot easier to love others. They may be unlovely, they may be unworthy, but we're to love them just like Jesus loves us. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't love me like I love others. That'd be a whole different ball game, wouldn't it? But I love Him because He first loved me. I had no love to offer. I had no love to give to others other than what Jesus gives to me. Oh, I'm going to be a channel. I want to be a channel of His blessing. And then goes along with this, if I'm going to be a channel of God's love, I need to secondly be a channel of God's compassion. Look at verse number 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I gave you a verse, of course, the definition of charity or love, and 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 last week. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, is kind. And I know I got them all mixed up there, I think. But charity never faileth. It goes for, and true love is something that I cannot have on my own. True love, in fact, I like the word charity that's in 1 Corinthians 13 instead of love, because it gives us a different understanding of what that word means. Charity is freely giving ourselves, expecting nothing in return, which really is what love ought to be. But we've so cheapened the word love, we don't really understand what love is. But understand today that compassion, and I like this word compassion, that's a great word. Jesus had compassion on me. Compassion is love that makes a difference. That's the best definition I've ever found for compassion. Love that makes a difference. Jesus saw a blind man and had compassion on him. He not only was heartbroken for that man, but He had the ability to give him sight. Jesus saw a deaf man and had compassion on him. He not only felt sorry for him and wanted to help him, but He had the ability to give him his hearing back. We have the ability to bring the gospel to others if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We ought to have compassion on them, to esteem others better than themselves, better than ourselves, and to reach out to those in need. Notice what he says again in verse number 16. or verse number 17, whoso hath this world's good. Now, the average American today would say, well, I don't have much to offer. The truth is, you have more to offer in the fact that you're an American than 90% of the people that live in this earth. We don't think we have much because we look at our neighbors, you know, we look at the Joneses and they've got this and that, and we're never content. We don't have any Joneses in here, do we? No. We look at the Joneses and we think, well, you know, they've got it better than me. Surely they, you know, that's the motto of America. You have money, I need money, give me your money. That's the new motto of America today. And that's what makes us great. No, that's what makes us greedy, and that's becoming the destruction of our country. Well, everybody else has something, but in reality, you have a whole lot more to give than you realize. You have more to give than what you even realize you have. God has shown us compassion. And I first met Him when I had no hope. And I see a need and desire to do something for Him now, but it seems I have no resources. But letter B on your outline, I have more of this world's good than I realize. Let me ask you something. Did you have a place to sleep last night? That's more than a lot of people have. How many of you slept in a bed last night? You didn't sleep in a bed? Huh? You have more than what a lot of folks have. Did you eat anything yesterday? Yeah, some of us probably ate too much, didn't we? Probably ate some things we shouldn't have eaten, but it sure did taste good. We've got more than we think we have. Were you able to get yourself up and dressed and ready to go to church today? You got more than you think you have. Some of us needed help at least picking out things that match, huh? Were you able to go to work this week? God gave you a job. God gave you so many things. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother in need, and notice this, shutteth up his bowels of compassion. Now, that's not the language that we would use today. That almost sounds like the reverse meaning. You understand the word bowels is something that we don't normally say. You know, I don't love you with all my bowels. We don't normally say that today as the word. That's your inner being. We would say the word heart today. That's just an old English word, and we understand what that means. Whoso shutteth up his heart of compassion is not walking in the grace of God. If we see others in need, we see others that are lost and on their way to hell, and we've got salvation, and we don't share that, we're not being a very good channel of God's blessing. We're not being a very good channel of God's love. We see others that are hurting, and we don't reach out to them. We don't have compassion on them. We've got something that could help them. We could do something for them. We are to be a channel of God's love, a channel of God's compassion to others. And notice also in verse number 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in the truth. I see someone that has a need, and I say, well, God bless you, brother, I'll pray for you. You ever use that one? Boy, I know you have a need. Boy, I wish I could help you. And if we really wanted to, there's probably something we could do. If we really wanted to. But it's easy to, well, what do I have? I don't have anything that could help you. You'd be surprised what you have and what God would allow you to do if you would let Him use you as a channel of God's compassion. I look at the work that folks do in this church and bringing kids into Sunday school, teaching a Sunday school class, working in junior church, and the outreach of trying to share the love of Christ with someone. I think of my wife and all the things that she does with the food pantry and the distributing, and I appreciate those that help out. And I see firsthand the things, and I tell her, man, you got a woman, you got more compassion than I do. Man, I would tell, forget that stuff. People calling all hours of the night with ridiculous needs. If you could have come yesterday, you could have got all you needed. But now you're going to make me, and I say, you're more generous than I could ever be. I say, you're out of luck, bud. Go hungry till next week. She shows a whole lot more. You thank God that she has more compassion than I do. You'd all be dead right now. She's a channel of God's blessing. This week, God smote me about something. Connor went out knocking on doors with me the other day, and one of my goals when I go out knocking on doors, the first thing I want to do is what? Help me out, class. Make a friend. I made a friend with somebody. Made a friend with a few people this week. One fellow we went and saw. And I told Connor I think he's been under the sauce a little bit too much here, but. So it's been a long day, and he said, you see a project that I have going on. I said, yeah, I saw it. I didn't really pay that much attention to it. His whole yard was dug up about 4 foot deep, the trench. He told me that the sewer line was bad, and he couldn't afford to have somebody come and do it, so he just dug it up himself. Now he's going to fix it himself, and actually, when we prayed, I prayed that God would send him somebody to help him, and I prayed that I wish I could do something. All night, I was tossing and turning because God was telling me, "Where's your compassion? Why don't you go help him?" I said, "But God, don't you realize?" I've been putting 16, 18 hours in a week with my first job and second job and third job and then doing everything here that I don't have time to sleep, and now you're keeping me awake at night. What's up with this, God? And he just kept saying, why didn't you go back there tomorrow and offer to help him? And I was thinking, yeah, I'll offer some teenagers to help him. Yeah, right. I know I'll be there with the shovel. I said, okay, God, finally, I said reluctantly yesterday, okay, God, I will go and offer. And my wife and I were actually knocking on doors Saturday, and we walked by there again, and I thought, in the morning, and I thought, oh, good, he's not home. Off the hook. But God kept saying, no, go back and talk to your friend and offer to help. You've got more strength than you realize. You can do something to help him out. So finally, I stopped back yesterday late in the afternoon and said, you know what? I've been praying for you that God would help you to get this done. And God's given me some strength, not much smarts, but some strength. And I know how to use a shovel. I can help you with this if you'd like some help. And he said, well, I sure appreciate it, but I did line somebody up for a lot less price than what originally. And he didn't know what rejoicing went on after I left that place. Praise the Lord! I don't have to do it! But that was an encouragement to me. But I thought, God just wanted me to go back and say, you know what? I could help you. That's compassion. It's the last thing in the world I needed to do. I don't know when I'd have to do it. It'd just make another week to get done with the carpet up there. Because I'll be out there working a shovel for a couple of days. But God provided, and he was so thankful and so grateful that I even thought to offer him help. I said, I'm going to pray, and we prayed with him before we left. I said, I'm going to pray that you get this thing done, and it all comes out okay and everything. And I said, God told me when I was praying for you to go off. It's raining out. I think that's the air conditioner kicking in is what that is. Yeah. There shall be showers of blessing. You didn't know how loud that was in here. You got your windows open? Too late now, bud. But just that thought. He said, I'm going to come to your church. I'm going to be there. Still waiting for him to show up. We've got a lot of promises like that. We're still praying. I'm going to stop back there and see. Are we willing to go the extra mile? Are we willing to go farther? We're to be a channel of God's love, a channel of God's compassion, a love that makes a difference. And then, lastly, in the last verse, number 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth. A lot of folks think that the theme of 1 John is how to know you're saved. No, if you have a right relationship with God, there's no question that you're saved. And this is another way that our relationship is what it ought to be when we become that channel of God's love and God, a channel of God's compassion. We're part of the channel of the assurance of God. Hereby, we know. When we know that He's working in our lives and working through us, we've experienced His grace in saving us, and now we're showering that grace to others. We're extending our helping hand to others. We're extending our love, and or His love is flowing through us. His compassion is flowing through us, and we're reaching out to others. And the more we do that, the more we know that we are of the truth. Not our truth, but His truth. The more evident it becomes to me. You know, when I was a young Christian, I struggled a lot with my assurance of salvation. And the reason was that I didn't understand then, but now I look back and see clearly because I didn't have a strong relationship with God. I was a newborn baby. I didn't know what it was to spend a night in prayer, to spend a day or two serving Him at a time, and know what it was to fast and pray and walk with Him and see Him miraculously provide for me. But now the more I become a channel of God's love and the more I become a channel of God's compassion, the more assurance. There's no longer a question that He's real. There's no longer a question that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And hereby, we know the truth. God's Word and the Holy Spirit will assure our hearts. God assures our heart. And notice, the assurance of our heart or our soul does not work ahead of our, or independent of God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. A lot of times you say, well, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I want to know for sure I'm saved. Well, you become a channel of God's love, and then you will know that you're saved. You can't know. You say, well, I want to know that I'm saved, and then I will start to serve others. No, you start to serve others, and then God will give you that assurance. You start to show compassion on others and forgiveness and love to others, and you realize how unlovable I am, and God loved me, and you extend that same forgiveness, that same love, that same compassion to others, and then you will have that assurance. But we want the assurance first, don't we? We want to get that first. And we say, God, as long as you put money in my bank, I'll give it out. No, we'll give it first, and then somehow God's going to have to provide it. God, as long as you give me the energy to do this, I'll go help somebody else out. No, we just go help them out, and then God gives us the energy to do it. I don't know how it works that way other than God's. I don't know why it works that way other than God says it does. That we just be a channel of God's love, a channel of His compassion, and then God gives us the assurance. We can't ask for the assurance first. And the reason I struggled with my assurance, because I didn't really have a walk with Him. And as I developed a walk with God in my prayer time and learning to share the gospel with others, and then the assurance just was a natural byproduct of that. And hereby, we know that we're a child of God. We know that we're saved because God's love and grace has come into us and it's flowed through us. We become a channel of blessing. My challenge to you today as a child of God is to be a channel of God's blessing. Be a channel of God's love. If God loved you, share that love with others. Share His love. It's not my love, it's His love. You know, sometimes I joke about we sign sometimes a card, well, I love you in Jesus' name. And I always think in the back of my head, well, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd hate your stinking guts. Huh? Just when you fall in love with God, you're not afraid to tell folks that you love them. You're not afraid to love the unlovely, the unlovable, those that despise you and hate you. You can still reach out to them. And just as Jesus went to the cross, not saying a word. We don't have to answer. We don't have to rebuke. We don't have to speak for ourselves. We just let God take care of that. And we just love them like Jesus loved me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say, well, I'll love you if you'd clean this up first. If you make things right with me, then I'll... No, God loves me all the same. God's always loved me more than I can ever expect and more than I can ever think. But I'm thankful for His love. And now I want to extend that same love. Not my love, but His love. I want to be a channel of His love. I want to be a channel of His compassion. And then God will give me the assurance, and I'll get in on the blessings of God and the assurance that I am a child of God because I've trusted Him as my Savior. And the more I allow Him to work in my life, the more real He becomes. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you